Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, conventional wisdom tells parents that getting involved in your kids' education is unequivocally a good thing. It's just taken as truth that parents should help your kids with homework, volunteer at school, meet with the kids' teachers when things aren't going well. But a new study tested these assumptions and found, so they claim, that the children of involved parents don't necessarily benefit from it. So here to explain these surprising findings is Dana Goldstein, a contributor to The Atlantic and a fellow at the Nation Institute. She wrote about the study in the April issue of The Atlantic, and she's working on a book on related issues. The article is called "And Don't Help Your Kids with Their Homework." Hi, Dana. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Glad to be here.
So before I ask, come on, what are you kidding me? What did this study test exactly?
So this study looked at 30 years of federal surveys of parents, and it asked parents, what do you do to try to help your kid do better in school? Do you supervise homework? Do you punish your kids for bad grades? Do you go to parent-teacher conferences? Do you help your kids choose electives at school? Then they looked at the kids. They looked at their grades over time, whether they attended college, and they tried to see if the parental interventions actually led to higher student achievement.
And on none of those measures that you just mentioned, supervising homework, punishing for bad grades, meeting with teachers, none of them were found to make a statistical difference in performance?
None of those made a big difference. And one of the surprises were that was true across race, across class, across the parents' education levels. However, there were about three that did work.
Which were?
Well, the first one is reading to your young children every day, especially from birth to about first grade. This is a really important thing to hone in on because only about half of American kids are currently being read to every day. So that's really important. The second one is talking to your teenagers about their post-high school plans. So the message here is to be big picture with your kids as opposed to focusing obsessively on the day-to-day grind of homework. Talk about the big goal for life after childhood. College, community college, jobs and careers. That helps. And then the third thing I think is the most controversial. The parents who found out which teachers in the school had the best reputation and finagled the system to get their kids in that teacher's class, that was effective. It led to 8 points of achievement gains on reading and math tests.
So by extension, a conclusion that good teaching, good teachers matter.
Good teachers really matter, and they matter more than the controlling parenting around homework stuff.
Now, listeners, what do you think on first blush of this study? We don't have all the data. We don't have, you know, every little detail of every child who was studied and what the alternative outcome might have been. But does this surprise you? Does this run counter to your own parenting choices? Have you seen parental involvement with kids make a difference at home? With kids in their schools, 212-433-WNYC. Parents, teachers, you may want to weigh in on this. Principals, anyone else, 212-433-9692. What have you noticed helps your kids in school, and what actually doesn't? Does it vary by age? Is it more a function of your own anxiety that you get more involved with the kids rather than less? On a more detailed basis, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We can learn more about this study and get your take on the findings and suggestions contained in it with Dana Goldstein, contributor to The Atlantic, who wrote it up for the April issue. Did it vary by age? Did they look across, like, you know, pre-K through grade 12?
Yeah, they did, and it did vary. So helping your kids with your homework and supervising it is kind of neutral in elementary school, and it starts to be negatively correlated with success in middle and high school. And I asked the researcher, the sociologist Keith Robinson, why is this? And he had a couple theories. The first one is that parents think they remember all this stuff from junior high school and from high school, and they don't. So the help you're giving your kid might not actually be academically
successful. It's that they get the content wrong?
They might be getting it wrong, especially in math. And then secondly, it's that the kid is actually not learning the consequences of their actions. So if you're correcting the child's wrong answers on the homework, they're not actually going to school, finding out from the teacher that they got it wrong, and learning that, you know, failure happens and you have to recover from failure.
So on one specific point, the study really found that actual help with homework, like editing an essay or helping your kid with complicated trigonometry problems, doesn't change how successful that child will be in school. That's what you were just describing.
That's right. And it asked the parents a couple of questions. Do you supervise the homework? Do you punish the kid if they don't do it? Do you correct wrong answers? So it looked at homework in a couple different ways.
So what are you supposed to do if, according to this study, if your child is not doing his or her homework, not handing in, you know, some significant number of the assignments, what do you do?
That's a great question. I'm not a parent, but I think what the study suggests is that you should say to them, I'm very disappointed in you. Education is really important. It's going to be really important for your adult life, and you're going to experience bad consequences because of these actions you're taking. And that's really tough for parents because I know parents want to intervene in a more hands-on way.
But we know that the cerebral cortex doesn't develop fully enough until into people's 20s.
We do.
To internalize that and convert it into action. Somebody, might, you know, 14-year-old might know that intellectually, but then, oh, that TV show's on and, you know, what the heck, and it's not converted.
Yeah, that's a good point. Interestingly, the researchers did focus groups with successful college students and asked them, what did your parents do to help you become the successful young adult you are today? And most of them said, you know, I was disappointed in myself when I did poorly in school because my parents were so disappointed, and that the parents' value system around education was more powerful than the specific controlling actions, especially strict punishments related to schoolwork. It just doesn't seem to work.
David in Whitestone, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi. My comment is that it's important to go to parent-teacher meetings during high school. The reason is so the child will participate more in class, and the teachers will be sure that the student is learning the material. And I had an incident where my daughter was afraid of the teacher's negativity or her harshness, so she never talked. And when the teacher told me, your daughter's a very silent type, I asked my child. My child told me why. I told my child the need to participate, and you'll see another side of the teacher. And she did, and she got an A in the class. So I think it's important.
David, thank you. So there's a story of where, at least in David's perception, meeting with the teacher in high school made a difference. I think this week is the parent-teacher conferences in New York City public schools.
Yes.
Should they not go?
No, I think they should. And this is one of those tough things as a journalist. You look at a 30-year longitudinal study, and you try to square that with personal experience. And it doesn't always ring true. And I think it's really important for parents to use their common sense.
Suzala, is that your name in Plainview?
Yes, it is.
Hi.
Yes. Hi. I totally agree that the teacher makes the difference in the world. I've seen it happen over and over again with my two children. Great teachers make for great years. Bad teachers make for children just being disinterested. However, I do disagree with giving children help in a certain area. I have two children, an 11 and a 13-year-old. Both of them, I've sort of just, this is your homework, this is your responsibility, take care of it, and I've left them alone. However, this year, my eighth grader came to a difficult situation where he decided to just kind of check out of school. I'm sure it's running hormones. But it took me all of November, December, and most of January to pull him back, get him more aligned, and get him on the straight and narrow.
How?
And now I'm checking with him regularly. He has algebra regenses, and we're doing regenses on command now to get him practiced and ready. And I have to say, if I hadn't jumped in on this, he probably would have been flunking out of algebra. So I think sometimes it does require a parent to get involved, even though I have held hands off for all of these years. It worked for a while. For this particular case, it's not working.
Yeah, I think that's another good example of a mom using her instinct about what her child needs, and we're certainly not suggesting that parents shouldn't do that. To the point about teachers being really important, I want to hone in on that for a second, because white parents are twice as likely as other parents to get their kid into that great teacher's class. So here we do see a racial disparity and an income disparity. And that, I think, puts schools in a tough position. If the parents you're constantly hearing from to get their kid into the great teacher's class are the most privileged kids, again, this parental involvement is actually perpetuating the achievement gap, when what we're hoping for on the policy level is that parental involvement shrinks the achievement gap.
Holly and Roslyn, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Holly.
Good morning. I feel very strongly that, especially if your child is learning disabled, you or emotionally disabled, you have to be involved, and you have to actually go. First of all, go to all teacher conferences, and also the SCE. I forget what it's called, but the special meetings for special education.
Right, for the individualized education plans.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm forgotten the name. However, if I did not do that, if I was not really involved every day, I wouldn't have caught some of the things as far as how the teachers were treating my son, for instance, if I wasn't directly involved in his needs as far as how he was interpreting what the teachers were doing.
Right. And it's such a great point, and we haven't raised it yet in the context of special ed kids with learning disabilities or emotional problems. Did the study that you're reporting on, this 30-year longitudinal study, break them out as a separate group?
It did not, and I think this is a very important point, because the special needs children do need something different in terms of parental involvement. Another thing that the study didn't look at is school choice. So some parents with a special needs child or a more typical child will do a lot to get their kid into a better school with a better reputation, and some parents will not. And this is a potentially extremely powerful educational intervention that this study did not look at.
This is one of the reasons that they say the charter schools cherry-pick kids who have more success potential out of the general population, even though there's a lottery system to get into it, because the parents have to make the decision to apply to the lottery in the first place.
This is true. Just the act of enrolling your child in one of these charter lotteries shows that you're involved enough to care to get them into a potentially better environment, and it is a powerful intervention.
You're working on a book called The Teacher Wars. What's the book about? And you're invited back for a book interview when it comes out.
Awesome.
And does this study inform your research, or is it irrelevant to it?
It's definitely very relevant. My book looks at why public school teaching is such a controversial profession in American life, dating all the way back to the 19th century till today. And one of the sort of third rails in talking about teaching and education policy is parenting, because we don't want to judge each other's parenting. And it's very controversial. But teachers know parents are very important. So this study was fascinating, because maybe parents aren't as important as we think they are, or at least not important in the ways that we assume. You know, hundreds of millions of federal dollars have been spent to link parents more closely with their children's schools. But what if the more powerful intervention is a public campaign about reading to your child, or adult literacy, so that parents are able to better read with their kids? Again, it's something that happens at home. It's not necessarily something schools can control.
Sam in New Brunswick, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. I'd actually like to comment on this as somebody who's both a teacher of social studies and special education, but also has vivid memories of being a student and dealing in both cases with helicopter parents. I found that when parents are overly involved with a child who has special needs or a child who doesn't, their attachment basically makes the child parent-oriented, adult-responsive, but not necessarily socialized. And a lot of times that is an inappropriate reaction on parents' part.
I'm glad you're giving us this perspective, because the feedback I've gotten since the piece was published from teachers is three cheers. I would like to assign the parents of the kids in my class to read this article. I'm glad you use that term, helicopter parenting. You know, this study suggests that kind of thing for the typical child just doesn't work very well. So that message does need to get out there.
But half the parents who think they are productively involved with their kids' educations listening right now are seething. They want to throw their radios, their computers, their phones across the room and saying, helicopter parents, that is such a slur. What do you mean by helicopter parents, Sam? And what behaviors are you referring to particularly?
perhaps these parents should realize that they're being reactionaries and take it easy on their phones and their radios and their children as well. I think what happens with helicopter parents is they find school to be a method to make themselves look good. So if their child can get better grades than the child down the road, then they can brag about that to their neighbors.
Well, I want to
Unfortunately, excuse me for one second. Unfortunately, this isn't something that's that rare, but we can do better.
But wait, there's got to be more to it than that. Because so many parents in so many school communities are trying to work with the other parents to get all their kids in their neighborhood, mm-hmm. in their class, to do well, to get into good colleges, all of that mm-hmm. stuff. So, yeah, there are some people who are concerned and over-concerned with status, but that can't be the root of most helicopter parenting, can it?
Well, we're Americans, and even more so, ultra-competitive Northeastern liberals.
Or
there's something
ultra-competitive
where
Northeastern liberals are
Northeastern. This idea of, you know, us trying to be very smart and us trying to get into the greatest colleges and our children and children's children, et cetera. But there's also some healthful thinking of, oh, well, gosh, maybe I should focus on my child socializing. Maybe I should let my child have some time with friends.
And maybe they're doing that too. But what about if your kid isn't handing in 20% of his homework? What about if your kid reads mm-hmm. the Odyssey and writes a really shallow essay about it, and you mm-hmm. and you read it?
Well, the researchers would say, let them fail, because if you let them fail at mm-hmm. the younger age, they will assume more responsibility as they age. The stakes yeah. are higher in high school than they are in junior high school. They're higher in college than they are in high school, and they're higher in adult life than they are in school at all. So that's what the research say that their data points to.
Sam, I'm going to keep you on for one more reaction. We have this comment on our web from Ginsburg in Inwood, who writes, if it's a choice between my son failing a class or me and his mother making sure he does his homework and studies for tests, we'll take the hands-on approach.
Fair enough. Everybody has the choice to make as far as dealing with their children. And as a teacher, I would look at a child who is failing and take that as my responsibility to intervene. When parents intervene to a certain degree, they're caring. There's nothing wrong with showing your child some love. However, if a parent is overly concerned and overly competitive and making their child miserable with the entire experience, that's too much.
I want to make a somewhat different point, which is that not every parent is equally able to make the choice to be a super involved or helicopter parent. Because we have parents in this city, for example, who are working two jobs, working three jobs, aren't able to supervise
that's
in
right.
this hands-on way. And that's where schools need to step in. But the researchers...
But that's completely contradictory to the suggestion of the study. And we hear this all the time, that one of the reasons that schools need to be good and one of the reasons for socioeconomic disparities is single parents or two working parents who don't have the time to be as engaged with their kids' education as those who, you know, have the luxury of one staying home or whatever.
Right. What the study found is that what's really important is that the parents are sending a positive message about education, and they should not be beating themselves up if they don't have the time to be super, super involved. If you don't have the time to bake for that PTA bake sale, it is okay for your individual child. It might be great for the community for you to get more involved at school. With the poorer parents, what the study found is that, contrary to popular belief, they place a high value on education. It's not a values problem. These parents do want their kids to do really well in school. They do hope their kids will attend college, and they do try to talk to their kids about the importance of school.
But they're not doing as well statistically as a group.
The kids are not doing as well. What the researchers found is that it has a lot to do with the communities these children are embedded in. They don't meet as many college-educated adults. They hear the message that education is important, but it remains somewhat abstract. They don't necessarily see the connections between doing well in school and the life that they will have as an adult later on. Middle-class, affluent parents are much more effective at embedding their kids in a world where that becomes obvious to the child as they age.
Provocative findings in a study from who again?
From two sociologists, Keith Robinson and Angel Harris.
With? University of?
With the University of Texas and Duke.
and written up by Dana Goldstein, contributor to The Atlantic magazine and fellow at the Nation Institute. She writes about the study in the April issue of The Atlantic. The article is called "And Don't Help Your Kids with Their Homework." Listeners, keep the conversation going on our webpage, as I think a lot of you might want to do, at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Dana, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And a treat coming up next. We have The New Yorker cartoon editor Bob Mankoff. In his new book, among many other things, he recalls the Seinfeld New Yorker cartoon episode. We'll hear a clip and much more. And we're going to take your calls on the New Yorker cartoon that you have posted on your refrigerator and the one that you actually didn't get. And it's always irked you that that cartoon is in there at all because it wasn't funny. It didn't make sense. You didn't get it. 212-433-9692. Bob Mankoff in a minute.